Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School at Isabel in Zurich. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on real milk when we come back. Well, back during the 1970s, an obscure black college professor at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, while working on a grant, developed a unique marketing plan for agricultural products. His plan was aimed at poor, rural, black landowners down in the South who own small acreages. His goal was to keep these small landowners on the land by producing produce for sale to the public at retail and to generate an income that would support a family. It was called the Whatley Program, and it was so successful that it became known as the Whatley Program, how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. That was Professor Booker T. Whatley. Now there are more than 4,000 of these small family enterprises operating here in the United States, and the law school has taken that Whatley Program and added the 15 agricultural laws of the Bible and the 17 financial laws from Scripture so that you can practice all of the laws of the United States, all of the laws of your state, and all of the laws of the Scripture, and do all three at the same time and make a good living for you and your family at the same time. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. That's first. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. And you can call right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our $100,000 a year on 25 acres class is available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the May 2006 Acres USA newsletter. It's the voice of ecological agriculture, or ecologic agriculture, however you want to pronounce that. And their phone number, I always like to give you their number and promote their magazine. I don't get paid extra for doing that, but I wanted to share it with you because I got a dynamite article in here called Real Milk for Real People. And most people don't want real milk. They want store milk, pasteurized, homogenized, FDA approved, Department of Agriculture approved milk. And the number here for this Acres USA is 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. They're down in Austin, Texas. Acres USA, the May 2006 edition. Now, last time we were talking about this thing of milk and the antagonisms that go between the majority, about 90% of Americans who want pasteurized, homogenized milk, and the 10% or less, they could be down around 5% of us that want whole, raw milk. Not very many of us. And I'm not here to sell you on the idea that you should buy whole, raw milk. I just wanted to tell you what the differences were. You know, you're a smart person. Most of you people listening to me have letters after your name. You've been to college. Hell, you're pretty smart people. You ought to be able to figure out for yourself whether this is a good product or a bad product. But as a reporter, I want to give you the information so that you can make an informed decision. I'm not sure that there's been any information out there concerning raw milk. And what information is out there? Boy, it's hard to come by. You didn't learn this in public school. You're not going to get this in college. You won't get this from the Department of Agriculture or from the Food and Drug Administration. You won't get it from any university extension service. No ag school will promote raw milk. None. Zero. Now, there's a few nutritionists out there, and there are a few dairy farmers, and there are a few iconoclasts. I mean, these are radical, right-wing, reactionary fanatics who actually, honest to God, believe that raw milk is better than pasteurized. Now, we all know that's not true, but, you know, just give me the benefit of the doubt when we're talking about free speech, and let me, you know, air my side of the argument, or let me present the other side of the argument. And then I mentioned this the last time. I said, now, I drink raw milk, and that's what I want to drink. And the majority of people, 90, 95% of you out there, all smarter than I am, got letters after your name, been to college, you know, and you all know better. All I asked for was a little tolerance. I said, could I please make the mistake of drinking raw milk all by myself? Can I make that choice for myself? Knowing, of course, that you and the majority are smarter than I am. But could I choose for myself to drink this raw milk, which is not near as good for me, and I'm sure that you're all aware of that. Now, of course, somebody's going to ask me, well, why in the world would you want to drink an inferior product like raw milk? Well, let me tell you why it is that I personally, I got 17 reasons why I want to drink raw milk. 17 reasons why. So if you got a pen and paper out there, why don't you just jot a couple, three of these down as we go through here. Now, in order for me to get raw milk, I decided what I was going to do is have my own cows. And so I've got my own cow out here, and I milk her, and I'm just real pleased with her. And she's a Jersey, and she gives 4% plus butterfat in her milk. You know, that nasty, gooey, gloppy fat called cholesterol that's in the milk. That real nasty stuff that you're not supposed to have. Okay. That's what I want. Now, the store milk. Here's the difference between the real milk and the store milk. My Jersey cows give 4% plus butterfat, and the store milk has 3.5% or less butterfat. And I opt for the higher butterfat, better tasting, to me, better tasting milk. Number two, the price of this milk ranges from $4 to $12 a gallon. It is more expensive than the $3 to $4 a gallon that you pay for milk in the grocery store. And I'm willing to pay more money for this milk that I buy, raw milk, than you pay in the grocery store. My milk is non-pasteurized, and your milk in the store is pasteurized. And I don't want pasteurized milk. I don't want my milk heated. I don't want the proteins rearranged. And I don't want the enzymes killed. Okay. Then there's number four. My milk is non-homogenized, and the milk in the store is homogenized, and the fat particles are broken up. And when you break up those fat particles in the milk so that they will float, they will stay suspended in the milk. And they go right through your stomach lining, and they lodge on your artery walls, and they plug up your veins. And that's what your problem is. Taint the cholesterol, boys and girls. It's the homogenized fat particles. And then this pasteurized milk, it kills the enzyme. See, there's an enzyme designed by the creator, God. You know, this creator, Elohim, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the guy that designed these cows to start with. He put an enzyme in that milk to digest that cream. And when you pasteurize it, you kill the enzyme. When you kill the enzyme, you can't digest the milk. You can't digest the cream. I want milk that can be digested in my body, and so that I don't get the atherosclerosis that comes from not being able to digest it. Now, my milk has no additives to it, zero additives. And in the store milk, they have many additives. They put stuff in there. Sometimes they put in powdered milk to give it more body, and they put in vitamin D, and there's other additives that they put in that they don't even have to tell you about or put on the label. And I don't like that. I know I'm dumb. I'm ill-informed. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you from my own personal point of view, all you smart people out there that know a hell of a lot more than I do, I just wanted to let you know, I don't want the additives in my milk. As uninformed and as stupid as that may sound to you, I don't want it. Would it be all right with you if I drank my milk without any additives? My milk is organic, and what organic means is that I don't have any dyes, sprays, or chemicals. No chemical fertilizers on my pastures. There's no neurotoxins, and there's no Agent Orange, and there's no pesticides like DDT or other organophosphates that are sprayed on my fields, my pastures, or my trees, or anything around here that my cow might eat, which would then come through the milk, and then I would drink it in the milk. That's what I want. I want organic. I do not want to drink the store milk, which is non-organic. I know we all live better chemically, but I don't want to live better with chemicals. I want to live poorer without chemicals. Would it be all right with you if I did that? My milk has no BGH. That's bovine growth hormone. I don't want any bovine growth hormone. I don't want to grow breasts. I'm an old man, flat-chested, and I want to stay that way. Would it be all right if I didn't drink my milk with BGH in it? But for all of you people out there that want BGH, you get it in your store-bought milk. God bless you. You're entitled to it. I want to help you along with it. If you want to drink BGH, you should buy store milk. It's loaded with it. And it's cheaper, too. You don't have to pay near as much. I got to pay through the nose to get milk that doesn't have BGH in it. Hell, you can get BGH at no added cost whatsoever. My cows are all grass-fed, and the milk you buy in the store comes from a feedlot. And they have all kinds of additives that they put into that feed to make those cows give more milk, which is really good for the dairymen and dairy processors. I'm not sure that that's good for me, so I decided I'd let you people eat the feedlot-fed cattle and drink their milk, and I would just drink the milk from grass-fed, and that's mine. I use no chemical fertilizer on this farm. Most dairymen use chemical fertilizers. These chemical fertilizers produce more grass so that the cows can eat more grass and more feed, and they get more feed that they can put into the bunkers out in the feedlots, and so that the cows will give more milk. But this feed that's grown with chemical fertilizers has less nutritive value in it, less nutritive value. It has less copper, less protein, less iron, less manganese, less of all of the trace elements in it. And mine has more. And I would like to get more of the trace elements. So let's keep that one in mind. And the bypass protein, that's where they take the entrails, that is the waste products out of the slaughterhouses, and they dry it and they grind it up and they feed it back to the cows. It turns the cows into cannibals, is what it does, and it creates mad cow disease. Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. My cows have no bypass protein. I'm very careful not to let my cows ever get bypass protein, but the store-bought milk, all these Holstein dairy rations contain bypass protein, because more protein means more milk at less cost. And that's why you guys can drink this milk for $3 to $4 a gallon. It costs me $4 to $12. But I'm willing to pay the difference so that I can avoid bypass protein and avoid mad cow disease and avoid Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. So my cows have no mad cow disease, and many dairy cows do have mad cow disease, although in the United States, we don't call it mad cow, we call it Downer cow syndrome. In the United States, 100,000 cows a year on these feedlots die. That's not a whole bunch, you know, but it's quite a bunch. You know, 100,000 cows, you know, is a bunch of cows. But when you compare that to the total number of cows that are out there milking, you know, it's not the greatest number in the world. Then they take those cows down to the rendering plants, and then they grind them up, and they feed them back, not to the cows, they feed those to the pigs. Then they take the pig offal, and they grind that up, and they feed that to the cows. I don't think that's a good plan. I don't like that. I don't want to eat or drink my milk that come from cows that are fed this bypass protein because of the risk of mad cow disease. And my cows don't have it. Now, my milk has no added vitamin D, and the store-bought milk has vitamin D added. And my milk has no estrogen, and the milk in the store has estrogen added. My milk has no hormones, and the store-bought milk has hormones added. The antibiotics that you get in the store-bought milk are not present in my milk, because we don't use antibiotics here. And then we have no GMO feed. See, we don't use genetically modified organisms in our feed, and the milk that you're buying in the store all has some GMOs in it. I don't know what that does for you. I don't know if it's good for you or bad for you, or it doesn't make any difference. And I don't really want to find out. I don't want it. And then there's no neurotoxic pesticides in my cows, but cows that are on feedlots, they eat a lot of feed. For instance, they take the orange peels, you know, down in Florida, and they grind all that up, and they dry them all out, and then they feed them to the cows. Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. But you see, they spray those oranges down there in Florida. They spray them. They spray them with neurotoxic pesticides. And then they take that same orange peel, grind it up, and feed it to the cows, and the neurotoxic pesticide comes through the milk, and then your kids drink that, and then you wonder why they're bouncing off the walls or why it is that they've got these various and sundry ailments. I don't want that. All right, now, those are 17 reasons why I want to drink whole, raw, unpasteurized milk. Now, I don't want to get in the way of the happiness and success of other people that want to drink pasteurized milk. People that want to drink milk that has 3.5% butter fat or less, that's priced at $3 to $4 a gallon, pasteurized, homogenized, it contains additives, it's non-organic, it may contain BGH, feedlot fed, chemical fertilizer fed, fed bypass protein, may have mad cow disease, vitamin D added, contains estrogen, hormones, antibiotics, and GMOs, and contains neurotoxic pesticides. If you want to drink that stuff, have at it, but leave me out, would you? Now, Akers asks this question. We hear from Florida that Dennis Stoltz Foods is being bedeviled by the agents of government right along, and there doesn't seem to be any let up. That's where your legal organization would come in if it were established, right? Well, Fallon answered the question. She says, well, right now, Dennis is doing fine. They basically told him that he can do anything he wants as long as he doesn't advertise. So he's selling his products as pet food. Now, remember last time I mentioned to you, I broke in there and I said, you know, the reason that most of these farmers out here are having a problem is because they're involved in commerce. And Article 1, Section 8 is the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. Congress can regulate you right into the ground, boys and girls, if you engage in commerce. And I think I mentioned last time I avoid commerce like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And that's the difference between private business and public business. And that's why government can regulate and control and dictate to you people out there, whether you're a general contractor building houses. You're engaged in commerce, you come under the Commerce Clause, the government comes out and tells you you've got to have a building permit, and here's how you're going to do things. You're a farmer, and then the Department of Agriculture comes out and dictates to you and says, this is the way you're going to do things. You're engaged in commerce. You're a small businessman, and you've got your city and your county and your state governments telling you to collect sales tax and do this, that, and another thing because you're engaged in commerce. And I'm not, and I don't want to be, and I'm not going to be, and I'm going to stay away from commerce. And I have people, once in a while, they'll say, well, but how do you live? And the answer is, I live very well, thank you, very well. The Ten Commandments isn't near as bad a program as you thought it was. And whatever's in second place, the Ten Commandments are a mile ahead of it. And generally, what's in second place here in the United States is the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, you know, like free public education, 10th plank, or a heavy progressive income tax, the second plank, or a central bank, the fifth plank, or Social Security, the eighth plank, or an inheritance tax, the fourth plank. I mean, you know, you start adding all those up, and pretty soon, you know, as old Everett Dirksen used to say, you're talking about some real money. And this fellow down in Florida, now he's selling whole raw milk as pet food, and he's not advertising. So if you can tuck that one away in your heart, I don't advertise either. I don't advertise. Akers asked this question, but he can't step right out and offer it for what it really is. Fallon, no. Yep, that's right. See, now this guy down in Florida, this dairy farmer, he figured it out. He's got the secret. You have to obey all the laws of Florida, all the laws of the United States, and all the laws of God. And if you can do that all at the same time, you can really prosper. And you can have raw milk. You can have raw milk. But you can't advertise. You can't compete with the Dairy Association down in Florida because they've got a monopoly. You see, those people down there, they don't believe in freedom of choice. Of course, most Americans don't believe in freedom of choice. That's why I keep appealing to you people. You know, would it be all right with you if I drink this raw milk? I don't want to force it on you. I don't want to take pasteurized milk away from you. I just don't want you to force your pasteurized milk on me. And is there some way we could work out an accommodation here so that all of us nitwits, all of us dummies that want to drink this bad product called raw milk, is there a way that we could do that all by ourselves over in the corner without bothering you people so that you can drink whatever you want? You know, you can drink your milk that contains neurotoxic pesticides and then it doesn't bother me at all. See, I don't have the same evangelistic zeal that the majority of you people have out there. See, I'm not trying to protect you from neurotoxic pesticides and mad cow disease. I don't care whether you die from mad cow disease or toxic shock syndrome or anything else. That's your business in life. You have a right to make that choice. I don't want to do it. I think it's a bad choice for you, but you know, that's your thing in life. What I want you to do is to butt out and leave me alone so that I can make my own bad choices. Is that fair? I leave you alone and let you make your bad choices. Now, would you leave me alone and let me make my bad choices? Seems like a fair trade-off to me. Well, here's Fallon. She says, nope. But by the way, what happened in Florida is a very good example of how these departments will back off if you do a letter-writing campaign and get people involved, get people motivated. And that's what we do. We send out action alerts for a particular situation in, say, Florida or Ohio, and our members write letters, and it becomes very embarrassing to the bureaucrats to be brought out in the open like this, and they've backed off in many situations. But, of course, it'd be much, much better to have our own Legal Defense Association handling all this. And here, this Mrs. Fallon over here, she doesn't think that you dairy farmers out there are capable of speaking for yourselves or of handling your own business and legal problems yourselves, that you need a guardian. I disagree with that, with all due respect, Mrs. Fallon. I think that in my case, I don't want any legal defense fund speaking for me. I just send it for myself, if it's all the same to you. Now, of course, most of you dairy farmers out there, most of you people listening to me are all incompetent nitwits and couldn't speak for yourself if your lives depended on it. In which case, you probably do need a guardian. You probably do need somebody to speak for you, and I wouldn't tell you not to. And I just suggested to you last time, wouldn't it be better, though, that if you could speak for yourself? You know, just mull it over and think about it. Akers asked this question, what should the individual farmer do? At present in Texas, for example, fresh milk producers almost have to sneak around to make it available. Fallon responds, well, actually in Texas, it's now pretty widely available. You can sell milk from a farm, and the people are either doing it with a grade A license or through a cow share program. Once again, what I would suggest to any farmer setting up this kind of program is to form an association with your shareholders, your customers, or with other farms to have a lawyer on retainer. Then when the state talks to the lawyer, not to the farmer. That in itself is a huge step forward and provides a lot of protection right off the bat. I haven't read the Texas statute, so I can't speak with any authority there, but you know, if you just take a look at your state statutes, it'll tell you what you can and can't do. Now, for instance, here in Missouri, to give you an illustration, we can sell raw milk off the farm to the final consumer. So if you walked over to me and said, hey, Gordon, I want to buy a gallon of milk, I'd say, sure, come on over. I'll sell it to you. You can't sell it. After you buy it from me, you can't turn around and sell that to somebody else. That's against the law, but I can sell it to you, the consumer. And there's about half the states that do that. And then there's about half the states where they say you can't even sell it off the farm to a consumer. And so a lot of guys have woken up to that. And so what they do is they sell a share of the farm to the consumer. The consumer, in effect, buys a share of the farm. Now, the farmer, you see, he can drink his own milk. That's a property right. So if you own the cow, and this is a neat little program that works in a lot of places, what you do is you sell the cow to the consumer. You know, $2,500 or $5,000 for the cow. And then you charge that consumer board to keep the cow, and you charge him for milking the cow. See how simple that is? And so you can hire me to milk your cow for you, and then you come by and pick up your milk. See how simple that is? Or a share program or a corporate program, as was mentioned in the last program. I mean, there's probably 10 or 15 ways to skin this cat in Texas or Wisconsin or other places. But again, I want to emphasize that if you're going to do this, boys and girls, you have to make sure that you're in compliance with the laws of Texas. Which means you need to look up your state statutes, you know, in the state that you're in. And then they're typically written in English. And I think, you know, if you've been, you know, the sixth or eighth grade and you've got an IQ of 85, 90, somewhere along in there, you could probably understand those statutes. Probably. Acres USA. And of course, these things change rapidly from time to time, don't they? Yes, they do, Fallon answered. And you mentioned the man in California with organic pastures and the mobile milking stations. Fallon answers, right, that's Mark McAfee. Mark has been so tremendously supportive of raw milk in whatever way it's done, whether it's cow share, small farm, or his farm. He understands that there's strength in numbers, and he doesn't put himself in the place of competition with those other farms. And one other thing I'd like to point out is that we do recognize the need for some kind of national standards for raw milk. Standards that would ensure the milk is completely safe. I mean, raw milk already is extremely safe, but standards would stipulate how the cows are cared for and what kind of testing is done. As a matter of fact, we're having a raw milk summit at the end of May here in Norfolk, Nebraska, and it's being organized by the University of Nebraska, which I think is wonderful. And we're going to come up with some national standards. If a farmer followed these standards, he'd get some kind of bar or seal, like raw milk approved or something like that. I put a great big bracket alongside that one, Mrs. Fallon. And I got to tell you a little story about them. Count me out. I don't need anybody to put a seal of approval on my milk. I don't care whether you like my milk or don't like my milk. And you know, the thing I suggest to people is, you know, here's my milk. This is the milk I drink. This is the milk I feed my family. And if you'd like to buy a gallon of it from me, I'm willing to sell it to you. And if you don't want to buy it, just leave it like. And I don't need to sell it to you. Now, I suppose that there are some guys out there that would like to have these bars. It kind of reminds me, you know, when we're talking about, you know, you're going to get seals and one thing and another, you know, bars, and you're going to get little stars. It reminds me of Sunday school. You know, when you were a good little boy or girl, you got a gold star. If you weren't quite so good, you got a silver star. And if you weren't quite that good, you got a red star. Remember that? You know, little kids, you know, they're just really into stars. I'm an old man. I'm not into stars. I don't need anybody's approval. I don't need your approval. Not seeking it. Don't want it. Now, military people need approval, and they like to wear stars and bars, and they like to have ribbons on their chest, and they carry all of their life's accomplishments right there on their chest, and they display it prominently so that everybody can see what they've accomplished in life. I don't need to do that. I don't need to brag to anybody and tell them, you know, here's all these good and great things that I've done. Now, the people that buy my milk are the best advertising that I've got. It's called word of mouth, the word of mouth. And when somebody buys a product and they like it, they'll tell their friends, and everybody has 10 friends. So let's suppose you come over to me and you say, Gordon, I'd like to buy your school, or I'd like to buy your milk or something like that. It's incumbent upon me to make sure that you're satisfied with that school, what you learned, or with that milk, or with that meat, or with that butter or eggs or whatever it is I'm selling. Because if you don't like it, you're going to tell your 10 friends, don't ever buy eggs from that guy Gordon, they're all rotten. Don't ever buy milk from that guy Gordon because it tastes better. You know, whatever it is. You know, your common sense, you know, tells you that the product that you sell better be good stuff. Because if you got 10 friends and you like it, you'll tell 10 friends and that'll sell 10 more. Or if you've got 10 friends, and you tell them how bad it is, that'll cost you 10 sales. Now, you know, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. Now, here's another thing that I've noticed that comes about. The people from California move into the Ozarks here, and they just love it. They love it because we have clean air, clean water, and no zoning and no planning. I mean, you can build a house here, and you don't need a building permit. Crazy things like that for most of you people is totally un-American. But then that's the way we do things here. So they come from California and they move in here, and what's the first thing they got to do? Screw it up. How do they want to do that? They want to put in zoning and planning so that they can protect their property values. The very thing that they hate in California is the over-regulation and the high taxes that go with that regulation. They want to bring it here with them. That's what communism is all about. And they bring that communism with them, and they can't help it. I mean, they can't help it. They've been trained as communists in the public school. I mean, they went to the public school, which is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Could they be anything other than communists? Then they come here where there's still a measure of freedom. We don't have zoning and planning. And they, oh, my God, we can't have that. We've got to vote in zoning and planning. We've got to have licensing for these activities. I mean, we got plumbers here that don't have licenses. Can you believe it? Electricians that don't have licenses. And these people from California, it just blows their minds. They can't understand how you can have life and society and civilization without licenses and without government inspectors and taxes to support it all. And this lady, you know, she lives in Washington, D.C. She's probably a nice lady, and Mrs. Fallon here. But, you know, Mrs. Fallon, when you come up with some of these ideas, you know, like we need to get registered and licensed and bonded and insured and all this stuff, that's what our problem is. That's what happened to the milk industry to start with. The farmers were induced to join co-ops, and then they were induced to sell their milk where it could be licensed, and they got licensed creameries. You know, and pretty soon, you know, you get these licensed creameries, and then pretty soon you get monopolies, and then pretty soon you get government bureaucrats, and pretty soon you get taxes to support it, and then pretty soon you got a monopoly, and pretty soon you got the very problem that you're trying to solve. So what you're suggesting, Mrs. Fallon, is this, is that we've got, on the one hand, we've got this bad monopolistic bureaucracy with pasteurized milk. So let's create a competing bureaucracy, a monopoly, a competing monopolistic bureaucratic agency over here for raw milk that we have for pasteurized milk. And I say, no. And let's avoid that if we possibly can. And let's just have a free marketplace for a free market product called raw milk. Shall we? Just as, I know it's a wild new idea, but mull it over a little bit while we remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School here in Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website also. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend The Law Hour. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on The Law Hour are political, or they're religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And we don't necessarily support or recommend or believe in or espouse every single viewpoint that is put out here by a lot of these people. But we do espouse and we do support some of their views. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear here on the Law Hour program, they're mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, though, or of our sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, this lady, Mrs. Fallon over here, also has a phone number, 202-363-4394. I'm going to give you her number because she's got a list. It's not here in the paper, but she's got a list of all of the dairies nationwide that produce and supply raw milk. And her number is 202-363-4394. Again, that's area code 202-363-4394. And then if you'd like to get to the real bottom of this, I always recommend that you subscribe here to Acres. It's only $30 a year, something like that, $32 I think it is. And I'll see the number right in front of me. It doesn't just jump right out, but it's something like that. Call them up and ask them. The number to call down in Austin, Texas is 512, it's area code 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. Pretty good guys. Well, I really don't know if they're good guys down there or bad, but their editor down there, his name is Charlie Walters. He's up in Kansas City. He's an old man like I am. He's a pretty good old guy, though, Charlie Walters. He's got his head screwed on, fair to middling straight. Acres USA asked this question. Approval, it might even get the government people off his back, too. Fallon says, well, possibly. It certainly would help to show that we're doing the right kind of testing and keeping the cows in the right way. By the way, these standards will put much more emphasis on the milk and not the facility. So many of these states have laws, rather ridiculous laws, about facilities. And these regulations are very expensive for the farmer and don't necessarily ensure that the milk is cleaner. Now, that's a good point that Mrs. Fallon brings up there. Because I'm an old-timey dairy farmer, and they get these rules. And says that, your milking parlor has to be thus and such, and your cow's bags have to be clipped, and, they've got all these rules and regulations. It doesn't add one fly speck for or against the cleanliness or the value of the milk. But bureaucrats have to justify their existence. And so they sit there and they write up rules and regulations. It sounds good. But God, if he would have thought that dairy cows needed their bags and their udders clipped, he would have made them hairless, And I always go back to the Bible and I say, well, now how did God design this thing over here? Because you see, most of us have it in our minds that God is a bumbling nincompoop who doesn't know his hind end from a hot rock and doesn't know what he's doing. And we've got to fix all of his mistakes. Just think about it for a minute. Vitamin D enriched milk, says it right on the carton. So what the dairy is telling me is that God made a mistake. He didn't put vitamin D in the milk. Now, it would occur to me that if God thought vitamin D needed to be added to the milk, he would have put it in there. I got to tell you a little something about these cows that maybe you didn't know. Now, I call this the miracle of random selection. You got to write that down. It's a very important scientific term. It's the miracle of random selection. But I don't believe in evolution and random selection. I believe that these were designed critters. And I'll tell you why. A cow, bovine, one of these four four-footed creatures over your shoes are cut as a cloven hoof. We call them cows. All right. And they have four tits. And we call them teats, T-E-A-T-S. And that's for people, you know, that have been to college. And the rest of us farmers, we call them tits. And then on the outside of those tits, there's a receptor. Now, you can't see these receptors, and you didn't even know they were there until I told you. But I'm telling you. Got these little receptors. And these little receptors, when the calf comes over and nurses on this calf, so sucking on this tit, the calf has saliva in its mouth that gets on these receptors. And these receptors record the chemical balance that's in this calf's saliva. Can you believe it? Yeah, it does. And then this cow can tell whether or not that calf is lacking in copper or iron, potassium, protein, or whatever it is that calf is lacking. And there's 106 thingies that's in that cow's milk. 106 thingies. And shucks, you know, Purina calf chow doesn't have 106 thingies in it, period. I think I got about 12. And about 10 of those are bad for calves to start with. But anyway, here's the story. The cow now goes out in the field and she starts eating. And if it's available, and if the thingy that calf's saliva says it's missing, let's say it's copper, just for funsies, copper, that cow will go out and she will eat plants that contain copper. And if you've ever watched cows eat, see, because we give what we call free range here, free range, that means that the cows not only have grass and clover to eat, but they have free range into the woods. And if a cow has free range, she will go out and she will eat some weeds. I've seen cows go over to a burdock plant and she'll take a bite or two. Or she'll go over to a poke plant and she'll eat off three leaves. She'll go over to some lamb's quarter and she'll pull that one out and eat it. She'll go over to a juniper tree and she'll eat the berries off of it. Or she'll eat the leaves off of it. Or she'll eat oak leaves. Or she'll eat, they eat all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, primarily cows, you know, they're like we are. You know, they kind of like meat and potatoes. But, you know, once in a while, they'll eat a Brussels sprout. And occasionally, they'll, you know, just like we are, we'll run over and we'll grab a hold of a spear of broccoli. And maybe run over and we'll try a little of this cauliflower or something like that. Well, cows do the same thing. Within 24 hours, that cow will have whatever it is that calf's saliva was lacking when it nursed the last time. And then in the next milking, you'll find that copper or that iron or whatever mineral or whatever vitamin is missing is now in the milk. That's why I called that the miracle of random selection. God only knows how many thousands of generations of calves lacking in minerals in their saliva it took for that cow to pick up those receptors and to evolve that way. Isn't that amazing? I thought I'd share that one with you. And so the dairy industry is that way. I mean, you know, Borden and Kraft Foods and Mid-America Dairies, they come along and they add vitamin D because God didn't put enough in. We got to fix it. So they do. And then we came along and we put in bovine growth hormone. That's for all of you people that are bovine growth hormone deficient. So they put that additive in there so that to make up that deficiency. And I don't have any BGH deficiency, so I really don't want to buy that. And then the dairy people, they come along and say, hey, listen, this butterfat in here is too much. I'm going to tell you something about this butterfat. When they sell you a gallon of milk and it's got 4% butterfat in it, they get, let's say, $4 a gallon for that gallon of milk. But if they can persuade you to drink skim milk and they can take that 4% butterfat and they can put it into ice cream, and then you're deficient, you see, the butterfat, and so you've got a craving for ice cream, and so they sell you the ice cream, they get six times more for the ice cream than they do the milk. So when they're advertising ice cream, it's got a little bit of an insider trading motivation behind it. So on the one hand, they're selling you skim milk and telling you that this butterfat's bad for you over here because it's full of cholesterol. And then they turn around and sell it to you in the form of ice cream, but they don't tell you that ice cream's bad for you. You ever notice that? You know, they're interested in selling their products. They're not really interested in your health. So when you hear a health claim that comes out of a multinational corporation, you got to take that with a grain of salt because they're not really concerned about your health. They're concerned about profits. That's the bottom line. Now, Acres asked this question. For instance, they require a certain type of tank and certain kind of pipeline and that kind of thing. And Fallon says, right, dimensions of the milk room and so forth. What we will be emphasizing is some new and inexpensive testing, sample keeping, and so forth to make sure that products have a clean product. Okay. Well, look, now my milk is pretty clean. You know, I have to drink this stuff myself. One of the acid tests, you know, that you could apply to somebody is, do you actually drink this milk yourself? And you could pretty well rest assured, you know, that if I wouldn't drink my milk, it probably isn't fit to drink. Now, I've said this many times. I was in the dairy business for many, many years. I broke in at Frank Roach's when I was 15. I'm very familiar with milking cows and the dairy business. I was in the dairy business for many years. I'm in the dairy business today. I've been in the dairy business for off and on, you know, for 50 years. I'm pretty familiar with cows. And I never met a dairyman that would drink the milk out of his own bulk tank. Never met one. I had a lady write me a letter one time. I've made this statement on the air a number of times. This lady wrote me an email and says, well, we drink the milk out of our bulk tank. And I said, well, either that lady is stupid and doesn't know what the hell is in that bulk tank, or else the milk must really be clean. It's the only thing I can figure. But boys and girls, those of us that are in the dairy business, and I was in the commercial dairy business for many years, and I can tell you of a certainty, we all drank raw milk, but we drank the milk out of certain cows. When we wanted milk for the house, we would bring the cow in, we would put her in a separate stanchion, milk her into a bucket, and take that milk in the house. We never drank the milk out of the bulk tank, and to this day, kids, I wouldn't drink the milk out of a bulk tank. And that's because that milk in the bulk tank has additives. It's non-organic. It contains BGH. It's feedlot fed. It's full of chemicals and pesticides. It has bypass protein. It may have mad cow disease. It may contain estrogen, hormones, antibiotics, GMOs, or neurotoxic pesticides. And every dairyman knows it. And any dairyman that doesn't know that probably went to college. A dairyman that didn't know that would have to have a degree after his name in some kind of science. Anybody with common sense could figure it right out. That what we're feeding that cow over there is coming out in her milk, and we wouldn't drink that. So I bring that to your attention over here because in the government world, they're real concerned about the size of the milking parlor or the pipeline or the bulk tank and all these physical things that don't have anything at all to do with the product that you people are buying. Let me ask you this, lady. You know, next time you go to the supermarket to buy a gallon of milk, ask yourself, are you real concerned about the size of the bulk tank or the size of the milking parlor or the diameter of the milking pipeline or the inches of mercury pulled on the vacuum line? I mean, are you real concerned about that? Now, what that has to do with the production of your milk, I can tell you from personal experience, is zero. But I want to tell you that I actually drink the milk that I produce here. And if I sell that milk to you, it's because I drink it myself. Now, if that's below your standards, you need to go buy someplace else. No hard feelings. And I don't have a real state-of-the-art milking parlor, you know, with pipelines and bulk tanks and all of the gauges and dials and all the stainless steel, you know, that goes with it. But I got a good product. I'm 68 years old and I don't wear glasses. I'm 68 years old and I don't have a hearing aid. I'm 68 years old and I don't have any physical symptoms. Isn't that strange? I mean, I'm in pretty good health. I went out and did a couple of days' work this week, and I didn't fall over with a heart attack. I drink about a gallon of raw milk a day. I don't eat much else, but I drink a lot of milk. I'll tell you a little story here. There was a guy one time got burned with acid. I forgot how this accident occurred. It's back in the 1920s. Might have been back in World War One days too, but it was way back here in the olden days. And his esophagus was burned out, and this guy could not eat. And so the only thing he could do is drink. He could drink juices, he could drink water, he could drink, you know, milk. This guy lived on whole raw milk for 44 years. He died at age 77. Drank whole raw milk for 44 years. Now, you're only entitled to 3 score and 10. This guy's got an accident back in his 30s. You know, he's about 35 years old, 45, 55, 65, 75. No. He's a little over 30 years old when he has this accident. And he can't eat anymore. He never ate after he was about 30 years old or so. And then he drank raw whole milk. Now, that's just one case. I don't have a whole lot of other cases I can document for you, but I got that one. I thought that's pretty impressive. I'm an old man. I drink about a gallon a day, half for the last 20 years. And I've had heart trouble in the past, but it wasn't caused by the raw milk. I'll tell you what I did. I got to tell you a story here. I had a heart attack when I was about 44. Heart attack, if you can believe that. So when I said I don't have any symptoms today, it doesn't mean I never had any symptoms. I used to be a sickie, you know. But then I said, well, maybe I ought to quit smoking and drinking so much, and maybe I'll clean up my act here a little bit. And so I did. Well, I happened to be over at Doc Lester's one day, and he said, hey, you know, you got heart trouble here. So they ran me through the mill over there, and here's what Lester prescribed. He said, you need to drink 1 cup of fresh, raw cow's cream every day. 1 cup every day. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But here's why. See, he's an old farm kid, you know, himself, you know. And he said, here's why. You see that milk, when God designed it, it's got this enzyme in it, and that enzyme will clean out your arteries. And pasteurized, homogenized milk will clog your arteries up, and whole, raw, fresh cream will clean them out. Isn't that kind of strange? And it's because of that enzyme. See, that enzyme digests the cream, goes into your system, and it will clean out the arteries, just like chelation does. I don't recommend that people try that. I'm not here to tell you. You know, I'm not a doctor, and if I made that kind of recommendation, you see the doctor monopoly, they don't want me to tell you that. And just like the lawyer monopoly, they don't want me to give you legal advice. And the milk monopoly, they don't want me to tell you to drink raw milk, so I don't tell you any of those things. You know, these monopolies out here, like the pharmaceutical monopoly, you know, they're selling pills, and the milk monopoly is selling pasteurized milk, and the lawyers are selling legal advice. And all of these monopolies over here are aimed at their own bottom lines. They're not aimed at your health. They're not aimed at your safety or welfare. They're aimed at their own bottom line, their own personal profit. So let's wake up and get real and recognize reality for what it is. That's the bottom line. Now, whoever sees this whole milk in the grocery store anymore, or the product is the thing, of course, but can you address the product for us a little bit? We hear a lot of people say, stay away from milk. But no butter. You ever notice that they tell you no butter, no cream, no milk? So let's have your take on buttermilk and the value of that particular kind of food, which many people seem to believe should be replaced by soy milk. Soy milk. My God, boys and girls, you know, 80% of the milk in the United States is soy milk, soybeans. is GMO. Did you know that? Genetically modified. And you kind of recommend soy milk. So that's what people are recommending, you know. And so Fallon says, well, let me just say this about soy milk. Soy milk is an imitation food. It's a highly processed food. Soy contains some natural toxins. And there are other toxins that are added to the soy milk when they make it, including synthetic vitamin B2. There's just no way you can recommend this product. Many of the brands are also loaded with sugar. Now, raw milk, what we call real milk, with all the fat in it from cows on pasture, is a perfect food, with the exception of a few individuals who may truly be allergic to milk. You can live on raw milk and nothing else, and you can live very healthy. So I want to tell you about the 77-year-old guy who lived out, I said 44, it's 43 years. I got the note right here in front of me, 43 years on milk. Now, nutritionists and the milk industry, I mean, hell, even these big dairy operations, did you know that they own soy milk producing operations? Because you see, the milk business is losing 1% of their customers every year. And so to make that up, 1% of their volume, they got to add something to it. You know, they're not dumb people. And so they're selling soy milk. They are selling a manufactured product. Now, if you want to buy a manufactured product, I can't think of anything better than store milk or soy milk. Now, for me, you know, just this is George Gordon speaking, I don't want to buy that. You know, just count me out. I don't want to buy it. I don't want to get involved in it. Now, we're reading an article here, I'm reviewing an article here called Real Milk for Real People. It's in the May 2006 Acres USA. So let me give you their number here. Acres USA is 512-892-4400. Again, that's 512-892-4400. I subscribe. When you want to have an answer, you'd like to get a copy of this May 2006 paper. It costs you $5, well worth it, for dynamite articles that I'm reviewing this week for you out of the May 2006 Acres USA. Now, I'm about out of time. I got to give you a final reminder. And that is, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Okay, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here for the night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.